Hey, hey, welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. So glad to have you with us today. You can learn more on our website, fairmountfriends.church, or find our church app on Tithely. Let's go.
Continuing with the theme here of Love Month as we're focusing in on relationships and marriage. Next week, it being child and baby dedication, we're going to be focusing on families and things like that. And also, by the way, men, Valentine's Day is Wednesday. She may just want to be noticed. That may be part of it. But as we go in here to this month, we want to be talking about relationships over the next couple weeks. And as we dive in here, a couple of things that I just want to kind of lay the track and lay the groundwork for is this. Life is really good when Jesus is Lord. Can we disagree? Marriage is good when Jesus is the center of the covenant. Home is good when the presence of the Lord is at the center of the marriage. Our relationships are best when they are ruled by life-giving principles from God. I believe that we can agree on those things. And as we bring God into the mix, there are many ways that he designed a woman that are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's certain needs that she automatically has. There's a beautiful way that God has designed man. And there's certain needs that the man has. I just want to speak to a few of these needs. Let's check out a few of the women, some needs. First one is love. They just have a need for love. There's a need for security that also would come into place. Another one is, oops, see how I dropped the Y? They have a need for secret tees. A need for intimacy. Uh-oh. Are you messing with my slide up there? There's a need for protection. There's a need for provision, encouragement, vulnerability, conversation, stability, adventure. There's a need for a leader. I then asked Alyssa, what is it that a man needs, or what a woman needs? And here's what Alyssa said. I just need a man that'll put his underwear in the dirty hamper. That's the one up there. Yeah, there it is. And then she just continues to rattle off a few more. I need a mind reader. Someone who will listen without having your answer running. Understanding when I don't make sense. And then I just said, okay, that's enough. That seems simple. I mean, that's what a woman needs. Simple enough, right, guys? I mean, we can figure this thing out surely by Wednesday. I mean, that's Valentine's Day. We got to pull our game together real quick. Let's go over the man's needs, okay? Y'all ready? First one, men, they want respect. Number two, some physical touch. And number three, we like sandwiches, okay? That's all we need. That's all we need, man. It's just show us a little respect. Give us a little physical touch. Yeah, come on, guys. And give me a sandwich, and I'm fine, okay? We'll be fine. And it's interesting, the complexity and the simplicity whenever it really comes to it. I want to dive into the Bible because that's about the only thing that can save our morning is Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 13. It says this. It says, you, my brothers, you are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And I want us to be thinking about this as it comes to our relationships, any sort of relationship, but specifically as we're looking at marriage this morning. Verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will just be destroyed by each other. So I say this, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For in the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he's going to lay out what our sinful flesh wants. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, or could I say the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, will produce this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Over fall break this past October, we took our kids to Disney. Disney has this phrase that it says it's the happiest place on earth. And that's debatable. Kids are screaming, people are crying, and that's mainly parents are crying and screaming, and the prices. But Disney does their best, and they're trying to get you there to have an incredible experience. They've thought through rides and service and entertainment, and the princesses come out, and the whole parade, and the castles, and all the dress-up, and the food, and there's next-level service that they try to provide to the guests. We're standing in line to get ice cream. And as we're standing in line to get ice cream, the girls want this certain thing, and then Judah wants this certain thing, and then I forget what it is, and Alyssa is trying to hold our place in line for the parade that's about to come, but I'm not overly interested in the parade. I'm more interested in sandwiches, right? I want some ice cream. And so I leave, and then she's calling me, this is what I want, and I get the whole order mixed up. So by the time that they're ready to bring it out, I get everybody like set up, and everybody has an ice cream except for Judah. And then Judah's like, oh man, like I wanted one. This is what I said, but you didn't order it. And I'm like, I know, I'm not awesome at this. And so we kind of like go through and I tell her, like, hey, we actually need one more. And I had already paid. I'm so sorry. And I don't really want to go to the back of the line. What do I do? So she just tells him, hey, we need to make one more. And this is what we need to do. This is what they want on it. And brings it out to me. I go, here, let me pay for you. And she says this. She says, hey, don't worry about it. This one's on the mouse. Is that good? Oh, I loved it. I'm like, this is the happiest place on earth. The next level service, like, we're going to take care of you. And so with that in mind, it's the happiest place on earth. One of the things that I vowed to Alyssa whenever we got married is I said this. I said, I vow to make our marriage the safest place on earth. Whenever we were dating and we had gotten engaged, and even on our honeymoon, we finished reading this book called I Promise. This is the book by Gary Smalley, I Promise. He's also the one that did the 5 love languages. And this book is probably the single book that helps set the foundation for our marriage. Here's a QR code. You can scan it. You can get this book right now even. But here is what he makes a plea for. Is there are basic needs that all of us have. And as I put up there, the women's needs. But it's not just to kind of be funny, like, a basic core essential need is the need for security, for safety, for trust between one another. It is a massive deal that we would be able to enter into relationships where we trust one another. In this book, Gary Smalley says this. This is a study. Dr. Bob Paul, the director of the National Marriage Institute, he calls this concept feeling safe. Dr. Paul has discovered that when you feel safe, you automatically open up and you share more and more of your deepest self. As you continue opening, the best friend relationships begin to happen naturally. Close your eyes and imagine living with a mate who completely accepts you for who you are. He never tries to change you. She is constantly looking for clues to understand you better. He not only highly values who you are, but is fascinated by your every move, every thought. Would that be great or what? When we think about the gifts of the Spirit, many of the gifts of the Spirit are not anger, short answers, rolling the eyes, breathing heavy. I don't do any of these. Having a little stinky attitude, having my answer running while she's talking because I'm not really care because my answer is the best. I'm awesome. You don't understand what's happening. If you could just close your mouth, I could really educate you right now. That's not the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, but it's patience. It's kindness. It's long-suffering. It's goodness upon your lips. It's joy. It doesn't have to be always frustrating. It doesn't always have to be a bummer. Not everybody's always against you. Sometimes there's a different opinion and perhaps we should listen to it. As in James says that you would be slow to speak and slow to becoming angry, but that you would be quick to listen. This is the action of the Holy Spirit fruit in our lives and ultimately the Holy Spirit fruit in our marriages. I want to read this to you. This is a section here out of the book. He says, I sometimes liken security in marriage to something I discovered in the story of the Chinese bamboo tree. What's so special about this tree? The bamboo tree does not produce much noticeable outgrowth for the first 4 years of its life. Even when it enjoys the right kind of soil, water, sunlight, weeding, observers see nothing on the surface except a little bulb and a small shoot. That doesn't sound like the perfect marriage relationship, you say. The Chinese bamboo tree may look like it's not developing as it should, but remarkable things are happening underground. The tree is busy putting out thick and long-range roots called rhizomes. The plant limits its surface growth while its network of roots reach deep and wide, providing a firm base for massive growth. Here's what a young plant looks like. We'll show you. Here's what a simple bamboo plant for over 4 years can just be doing a lot of work underground. If you look at the young Chinese bamboo tree in its fourth year, you might think, this is the puniest, most pathetic tree I've ever seen. It's been sitting there several years without any noticeable growth. There must be something wrong. So you decide to pull it up. You take hold of that tiny tree. You pull with all your might, but nothing happens. So you yank and you jerk and you twist and you tug, but the tree doesn't budge. No matter how much sweat and energy you put into it, you cannot pull that Chinese bamboo tree out of the ground. Then, in the fifth year of growth, the Chinese bamboo tree shoots up to a staggering height of 80 feet. Can you imagine something that had been growing without much visible progress for 4 years in the next year alone develops an 80-foot tree? That looks like a fun little path to walk, doesn't it? The same thing can happen in your marriage when you focus on safety, security, and trust. Build security as the foundation of your marriage, and nothing can pull it apart. Security is the root system of a flourishing marriage. The growth may not be immediately visible. Disagreements, misunderstandings, and setbacks will occur. But if you keep yourself open to each other, communicating and listening to the heart, your lives will grow and intertwine beneath the surface, solid and secure. Build the root system of security as the basis for your marriage and watch it soar to new heights. How do we build this trust? How do we build this relationship where we can start to see it strengthening? And I'll just hit you just with a couple points right now. Perhaps you feel like relationships are moving in a certain direction and they're not life-giving and they're hard and it's bigger than marriage. It's the job. It's the coworker. Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it's with your own children or grandchildren. But it's moving in a way that it's not real exciting to watch it happen in that direction. There are real deal momentum shifts that can take place in relationships and organizations and people's hearts and ball games. Anybody ever been to a ball game and you're like, oh my gosh, the whole momentum just shifted. You got a defensive stop, you went down and scored, you get another stop and score, the crowd's now getting into it, there's an energy that shifts, the applause, the coach is fired up, like it's almost like you're playing with a sixth player now called momentum begins to pivot and swing. You know what can happen? Is you're like, man, we have been on this road for a while. We need the door, we need a hinge moment. We need the door to swing on a different hinge. Isn't it hard to begin to deploy these things of the Holy Spirit, like love and joy and understanding, when there's a track record that proves that I can't trust? It's so tough, isn't it? It's like I can only believe you based upon what you've shown me. And whenever somebody tells you who you are, you got to believe them. And it's like, oh man, this is tough. And so with eyes wide open, it's not that love is blind. Love sees clearly. I see it all. And I'm still going to choose to love. And it is a choice to move into places of grace and forgiveness and redemption. All the while, I've got to begin to be making some baby steps toward regaining trust again. One of the biggest game changers that happened in Alyssa and I's marriage was fairly early on. But it happened where she was being pulled in tension points between myself and her family. Living in Indiana and Kansas City. Opinions from parents, opinions from me, back and forth and back and forth. And trying to play both sides. Anybody ever done that? With in-laws and outlaws, and you're trying to, who am I really in covenant with, and how do I shift allegiance, and all of this sort of stuff was happening. And whenever I would have something that was just, man, we are bumping up against either core values, or we're bumping up against frustrations, or we're bumping up against stubbornness, or we're bumping up against, we're just choosing to hold tight to opinions, man, it was hard. It was just tough. It's like, we are not going to gain any ground. And there was this moment, and I remember, we're actually on a flight back from Kansas City, and we're on the plane, and she goes, okay, that's it. I'm just choosing. I'm on your team. I go, what? She goes, I'll just, whatever you say, that's what it is. I'm in. And I'm just going to pivot my heart. I'm going to make a choice right now. I'm like, wait, what? Is this thing on? What? I'm in covenant. I made a vow. And my heart is 100% with you. And whether I agree, disagree, whatever, I'm punting personal opinion and whatever. And I'm more than I want to be right, is I want to be in unity. I want to be together. And this was a hinge moment where everything shifted. Everything began to pivot. And it's like, I'm going to yield. You are the leader, and I'm under you. And what? It was unbelievable. It was a moment, right, where so much began to pivot and shift. And I'll tell you, not because that like she was amazing in a moment or I was amazing as a leader. It was the Holy Spirit coming into a relationship and saying, I'm going to rework some stuff. I'm going to transform hearts. It wasn't that she just had a really cool idea and said, yeah, I just don't want to have any opinions anymore. No. It was the Holy Spirit transforming a heart. and saying, the old is gone, the new has come. I'm going to transform, make all things new again. Perhaps there's a relationship that you're in, you're like, I don't know how this thing ever gets new. I don't know how this ever gets healed. I don't know how we power through this. There's so much bitterness and frustration, and I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to ask this. More than you being connected to the end result, you're going to be connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. And if I can be connected and committed to walking in the flow and the power and the fruit of the Spirit, God will take care of the rest on the other side. But I know I need to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if I can bring that to the relationship, it can't not get better. And I'm not committed to the end result as much as I am committed to the process of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that there's all of these lustful pleasures that the heart wants. And it goes, if you can just get rid of all of the fleshly desires and you can live into the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes, now you can live free. And I don't know about you, but I want to live free. I want to live free of expectations. I want to live free of all the hurts and discouragements. I want to live free of all the pain of the past. I want my heart free. And so this morning, we want to bring our hearts before the Lord and say, God, this thing's been dinged and damaged and discouraged and destroyed and depressed, disillusioned. Maybe it's even been divorced. It has been through it, God, and it is dead and it needs a resurrection. And we're coming and asking that the Holy Spirit would cause it to come alive again and that we would begin to experience the joy of Jesus, the Prince of Peace again, that we would experience a new life that is led by the Holy Spirit. And in just a moment, we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come in and heal and restore and make whole again. And I'll tell you, whenever you bring this to the relationship, all of a sudden, I trust you. All of a sudden, I'm feeling safe. Man, we got joy in the house. It's peaceful. Oh, you're aching for a peaceful home. He's actually patient with me. She actually is deploying some patience and some kindness back to me. And we're just going to believe God that there's going to be this great restoration of the heart. I just want to end with these questions. What's the hinge moment that you need? What is the behavior perspective shift that you need to have? What is the thing that you want to bring your heart before the Lord right now and say, Jesus, you need to heal me and change me and to restore me and get my relationship back with you? Come on, church, we're going to believe God for a healing right now. Let's pray. God, we're asking by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would do a supernatural work inside of our hearts and our relationships. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come in like a flood right now, that you would be able to forgive where you thought you never could. You would begin to forgive. Where you thought you could never even look past something, now the Holy Spirit just begins to put that Holy Spirit salve upon your heart. Where you thought that you would never see hope again, God, we're asking that you would just restore some life. God, lift our heads, encourage our hearts. We ask you this would be a church that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have joy upon our spirit, that we would deploy kindness and peace and patience to one another. God, I pray that there would be long suffering in our relationships toward one another. And God, I pray that there would be the joy of Jesus that would reign over our marriages and our homes with the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. And everybody said that agrees. Amen and amen.
Grateful you were with us today. Be sure to subscribe and rate us so other people can know about the podcast. Join us on a Sunday morning in Fairmount or find our live stream on YouTube, our website, fairmountfriends.church, or our church app on Tithely. See you soon.